This whole area actually is very helpful because there's like a Walmart over there and there's a Lowe's over here. So, I mean, I know people that come from, you know, the Missouri side over here to get things. My brother and sister-in-law came over from Brookside to this area specifically for like the Lowe's and things like that over here.
That was Ash Cosme. We met him over by the Price Chopper in Roland Park. People throughout the metro know this intersection as a place to get whole carloads of things from the big box stores in one trip without having to go too far from the city center. But what's it like to live in Roland Park, and what role does this small community play in the life of our region? I'm Gina Kaufman, and today we're going to get a nuanced picture of life in Roland Park. Call 816-235-2888 to join the conversation. Tom Madigan, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you very much.
We met you at a listening meeting in Roland Park at the community center. Do you often attend meetings and things like that to stay active in Roland Park discussions?
Yes, I do. I try and attend every meeting, council, whatever.
Why? What does Roland Park mean to you?
Well, I've lived there 30 years. It means a lot to me. It's my wife and I were empty nesters, moved there. It's a very safe community. It's a very accepting community. And the council has always listened to what citizens have to say.
Well, our other guest this morning is Teresa Kelly. She's a council member for the city of Roland Park. Hi, Teresa.
Good morning.
Can you give us the boundaries that surround Roland Park?
Okay, to the north we have Wyandotte County, or KCK. To the east we have Fairway, Westwood. To the south we have Prairie Village. To the west we have Mission. I think I caught everybody. Tom, did I catch everybody?
I think you did.
Yeah, so we're in that little cluster of communities in the northeast corner of Johnson County.
I looked this up, and it's a city of 1.62 square miles. What are some of the quirks of living in and governing a city that small?
Well, your neighbors are at council and talking with you. Your neighbors are at the park. Your neighbors are at Einstein's getting coffee. We're landlocked, so where other communities have a growth opportunity as far as expanding their commercial centers and those types of things, we have what we have. And so we have to be creative and careful with development opportunities and with our fiscal responsibility for the city.
Is Roland Park mostly residential?
Yes.
So the question of whether Roland Park should be an independent city is a real conundrum. Can you explain that?
Oh, yeah, there's talk from time to time about combining with other cities. And I guess a long time ago, there was an opportunity for us to actually annex one of our neighbors, which was something new I learned at our gathering a few weeks ago. You know, I think each individual city up in that area has its own distinct personality. They're what's considered first-tier suburbs that were developed after the war. And so, you know, you go from, you don't really see the boundaries when you go from city to city, but I think each prides itself on its own uniqueness.
It sounds like you're saying you feel the difference when you go from city to city. Tom Madigan, do you agree with that?
I don't. I see boundaries as being invisible. One of the reasons Johnson County, Roland Park included, expanded after the war is people were coming across the state line. They wanted self-governance. They didn't want the city telling them many things, including who they went to school with. So each one of these little communities built itself. At that meeting that Teresa and I were at, I gave the wrong answer. I went back and researched it. In 1953, the city of Mission rejected consolidation with the city of Roland Park. So I want to be stand corrected on that.
Well, so our listeners haven't heard the beginning of this conversation. Let's go back a little bit into the history. This first came up, as far as I understand it, and Tom, you'll correct me if I'm wrong. This first came up in about 1950. At around that time, lots of little real estate subdivisions were starting to incorporate into municipalities, independent ones. So when Mission announced plans to become its own town, the guy who had created Roland Park, Row Manor Heights, and Row Highlands, he got nervous that his subdivisions would be annexed into the city of Mission.
That's right.
So then that's why he proposed that the Roland Park Homes Association incorporate into the city of Roland Park.
That's exactly right. That's right on the head.
So how did that shape the community you live in today?
I don't think we see a lot of effects of that now. In the 50s, early 50s, cities on both sides of the state line were trying to get as much property as they could. I live in a park called Pinland Heights, which was one of the first places construction started. But it was one of the last places annexed by Roland Park so that Mission couldn't annex this. So everybody knew they were going to be landlocked, and there was just a race to annex as much as they could.
But your little tidbit you were just sharing, that Mission rejected annexation of Roland Park, sounds like it wasn't Roland Park that decided not to annex, but Mission.
It was proposed to, let me see here again, I believe 1953, yes. So that was 2 years after Roland Park had been created.
This was controversial even at that time. There was a mixed reaction to the proposal of incorporating into an independent town. Teresa Kelly, what do you think are the advantages of and disadvantages of incorporation for a small community like Roland Park in today's world?
Well, I'll start with the good news. We get to develop our little neck of the woods the way our community would like to see it. We get to develop our own green spaces, much like any other city. You have, the ability to do what your citizens want. And being small, we get a lot of citizen input. I mean, that's how I got involved, was being a citizen activist. You have that immediate feedback whenever you're doing anything in the community. Some of the drawbacks are you're limited with, your revenues. You can't grow anymore. Sometimes things can get really controversial. But overall, I think it's a good balance.
You mentioned that you got started through citizen activism. What kind of activism were you involved in?
Oh, gosh. A friend of mine and I had just moved to Roland Park in 2009, and I met a friend of mine at the sustainability table at Earth Day, and I had decided after many years of not having a backyard farm that I wanted one, and I wanted backyard hens, and hers had been taken away, and so I joined forces with her, and about a year and a half later, we made it possible for us to have backyard hens in Roland Park, which was really interesting, that whole, but it gave me a hands-on lesson in policy work and activism.
We'll get maybe back to that story a little bit later, but what do you think, what would Roland Park lose if it were to become just a little pocket inside of, say, Mission or some other larger community, neighboring community?
You know, I think people would feel like they would have less of a voice, perhaps. Being part of a bigger community, it would be more like a neighborhood association. It would be going back to what it was in the beginning, a smaller piece of a bigger whole.
What would be wrong with that?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. It just would be different. I've only lived in Roland Park since 2009, so I've experienced it just as it is. Tom has a longer history as well as a lot of people that I know, so I can only speak to the way it is now. I enjoy having our own little community. One of the other things that we are doing, as far as helping our city survive, so to speak, and thrive, is we do interlocal agreements for services and things like that.
What does that mean?
So our solid waste service, we have an interlocal agreement with other cities so we can get a better price overall, and those type of things. We take advantage of those when we can.
So you guys do work together with the other communities.
Yeah, we do. I don't ever want to give the impression that we don't, because we're working with one of our neighbors on development possibilities for one of our gateway corners, and we're part of an overlay district with Wyandotte County, Westwood, and Roland Park on the northeast corner of our city. So up on 47th and Mission, where we've got Taco Republic and Joe's Kansas City, I know is what it's called. so we do work cooperatively, and that seems to work out well.
So, Tom, what's your perspective on this? What do you think Roland Park gains and maybe loses by being its own little tiny community?
We did a, and I was lucky enough to be the chair of a strategic planning committee staffed entirely by citizens. And the number one thing that citizens told us is, I feel safe here. We have more officers per capita than any other city in Johnson County.
How do you pull that off?
Efficiency. We have a police chief that is just looking at ways to cut money, more time for the officers, very efficient. And, you know, people get tickets. There's no two ways about that. But people see the officers drive by in the evening.
Well, that's really interesting because this is maybe apples and oranges, but in Ferguson right now, part of one of the recommendations that's come out of the Department of Justice report there is that there be fewer little tiny communities with their own little tiny police departments that you don't see, but you don't see problems arising from that situation?
No, I don't at all. We don't have any problems. We passed an anti-discrimination ordinance. We've never had a claim against it before or after. We don't have those problems there. If you really want to go way back, Roland Park started when St. Agnes School, St. Agnes Church moved into what's now Roland Park. And at that time, the Catholic Church was very accepting of everybody. And I think we don't have it anymore, but we had a huge Catholic base at one time.
When we talk about the size of Roland Park and how that affects the way this little city functions, the issue of tax base seems significant. Roland Park is small, and a few years ago it lost its number one sales tax generator. I'm talking about Walmart.
So we actually haven't lost it yet, but that was probably... those of us who were new on council for the budget talks of 2014, we work on next year's budget. So we were looking at about a $700,000 hole in our $5 million budget. So that's quite a significant loss. And as everyone knows, the infamous Gateway Project has been up and down. But as you know, the tact we took was we need to cover that hole. And start saving for that. So we did a 3-year budget. And so we've had to adjust. We've stuck to that. This is our third year. So we're going to be looking at adjustments because the date they're leaving has been pushed off. Now, there's also, that's controversial as well, whether they are leaving or not. But we've not heard anything different. So that's what we're looking at.
So unpack some of that for me. I mean, you just explained that you haven't lost the Walmart yet. You referred to the Gateway Project. Can you explain for some of the uninitiated a little more what you mean about this?
Okay, so Walmart has signed an agreement to move to just north into Mission, to a development that's been on the blocks for about 10 years. That's evolved and evolved and evolved. But as far as we know from the office in Arkansas, Walmart is leaving Roland Park. We can't give them the footprint that they want because it's a very successful store. So in order for us to make our budget, you know, because we keep a certain amount in our reserves, when a store like that goes dark, you have... a loss of revenue immediately, and then you have a period of time that until you re-tenant. And Walmart is like the gold brick of retail as far as tax revenues. So you usually only do 40 to 50% replacement value for that tax revenue.
But when you talk about it being a gold brick, I think this is interesting because the flip side of that golden coin, as it were, is that if Walmart then picks up and leaves, there's been so much reliance on it that you're then in the conundrum that you're staring down right now.
Correct. And so we look at the redevelopment opportunity. Now, you know, we don't have a whole lot to say other than our redevelopment ordinances and protocols because we don't own the property. It's owned by a development company. And so there's also a pull factor. So we know that we have a certain amount of people that come to Roland Park from outside of Roland Park to shop there, and they shop the peripherals, the little stores and restaurants outside of that on the pad site. So when that goes dark, then they will probably lose revenue. So that affects things. So it's a chain reaction. So what we've done with our budget is try to cover that over so that we don't have that huge dip.
When you say cover that over, how do you do that?
We raised our property taxes, and that created a stir, because we it's probably because you know with the economy went down, so everybody lost property value, and so that means our mill levy lost value. And so to recoup some of that, you know, you might look at it as a big hole in the road, like a pothole. So we had to, you know, figure out a way to bridge that pothole until we could get to the other side. And so that's why we created the flatline 3-year budget. Now they haven't moved, so we're now in, you know, we're going to have a completely different budget discussion this year on what we do now, because that timeline has changed.
It seems like part of the budget equation would also be what the city needs money for.
Correct.
What are the kinds of things that tax revenue goes toward? And how might they be affected?
So we have special tax funds. So part of our tax base is sales tax, and part of it is property tax. The sales tax revenues, we have special funds, like for our road improvements is one fund. We have one fund that goes to our community center. And then, you know, we have our general fund. So when we lose sales tax money, we lose money for our general operating expenses as well as these special funds that they're dedicated funds. We can't use that money for other things. So if we lose money, you know, for our road projects, that has to come from somewhere, or we have to take on debt. And we're trying not to take on any more debt at this point.
So we've talked some about the financial repercussions of Walmart's plans to skedaddle. We haven't really talked about the other kinds of repercussions. Tom, as a resident of this community, what does the idea of this currently occupied huge store becoming vacant, what does that look like to you?
Right now, I don't think the citizens understand the impact it's going to have. Because for 3 or 4 years, we've been screaming, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. So they haven't seen anything. They don't understand about pull factor.
Well, when you say the sky is falling, what do you mean? Like, how would life be different for you, just how you move about the community, what it feels like to you?
It wouldn't be much different to me, other than I'd have to drive farther to get to a Walmart. but this problem began 30 years ago when the then city council decided to tear down the existing shopping center that had line after line of shops, bowling alleys, all kinds of things.
Were those what kind of shops? Independent shops?
Yes, all independent shops. Mm-hmm. And approximately 30 years ago, the council made a decision to go with, at that time it was Kmart, built a place called Pace. And then Walmart bought out Pace, and then it became, well, first of all, it was a Sam's or Warehouse Club or something, and then it became a Walmart because they had a 30-year lease.
So do you think that this whole drama raises questions about the model Roland Park's been operating under, it sounds like, for about 30 years? I mean, this model of a tiny, mostly residential suburban city with a couple of national box stores.
It's, to me, this is just me, it was typical of what happened 30 years ago in every city. Oh, here's our savior. Here's a big box store. Now, Lowe's is relatively recent to the mix. Price Choppers had many different configurations. And one of the first big box stores we had was a company called Cook's and then became Venture, and then it went out, and in a matter of speaking, Lowe's replaced them.
So are there still, like, places, are there, like, little community places where you could go and sit down and have a meal in a mom-and-pop shop?
I know. This is one of the things that everybody wants in the citizen survey. They want to have that ability instead of going to the chain fast food restaurants.
But when you say people are talking about that, how are they talking about that?
number one thing the council hears all the time and the committee heard was, why can't we have a sit-down restaurant?
Sit-down restaurant.
Well, the reason is we don't own that land. So the developer would have to bring somebody in. And, you know, you have to, with the economy the way it's been, people aren't looking, the corporations weren't looking to build new ones. Economy's turning around. Possibilities are going to get a lot better.
How can, so right now, this is like kind of a destination for people doing errand runs, like on weekends and stuff. How can people running those errands contribute to the well-being of Roland Park in a way that goes beyond their purchasing power at these big stores?
We are, just recently, we put up signs telling people where the public parks are. That was an interlocal agreement. Another city made the signs for us.
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead. We have a community center that draws from a lot of different areas. So we have that for people, an offering for people. We have the shopping that's there. We have our new development that will be going on in the northeast corner, hopefully in the gateway too, on our corner of the gateway. So we're an evolving city, and I think we're poised to really make some good changes.
We're going to pick right back up with this conversation about Roland Park after a short break. When we return, is there such a thing as Roland Park exceptionalism? What do you think Roland Park is different from the rest of Johnson County? Call 816-235-2888. Don't go away. Hi, Tom Madigan.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. And hello to you, Teresa Kelly.
Good morning.
I'm Gina Kaufman, and we're talking about Roland Park on today's Central Standard. We've been hearing about Roland Park's decision to incorporate into a city that was back in 1951 and how that's shaped the community of 6,000 living in less than 2 square miles. But now we're wondering, is Roland Park an exception to the rule in Kansas and maybe even within Johnson County? We'd like to hear from Roland Park residents on this one. The number to call is 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. And we know there are 6,000 of you. Teresa Kelly, Roland Park Councilwoman. How does Roland Park lean politically?
Well, that depends on who you talk to. I would say probably more liberal. Yeah.
It's one of the most liberal parts of Johnson County. But it changes by ward. We have 4 wards.
So when you say it changes by ward, how does it change?
There's no other way to put it, but Ward 1 especially is very liberal, and Ward 4 doesn't tend to be as liberal. Is that a nice way of putting it?
And are 2 and 3 kind of in the middle there then?
Oh, there's flux there.
Well, so Teresa, how do you get elected to office in Roland Park? Any particularities when it comes to what plays well and what doesn't?
Well, I can't speak for anybody but myself. I think what helped me was I knocked on every door and met every voter in my ward. I had a history of being at city council meetings for about 3 years prior to me running. So I knew the issues. When they had questions, I'd either been at the meeting or I would check on it for them and get back with them. I think it's important for that face-to-face. I think people in Roland Park want an authentic representation. They'll see through the politics really quickly. So
when you sort of reluctantly characterized Roland Park as liberal, does that liberalism set it apart in a red state like Kansas?
Yes. Yeah. We've taken on some hard topics.
Well, speaking of which, let's revisit some high-profile events from this time last year. A controversial bill in Kansas proposed that business owners in the state should be able to refuse service based on sexual orientation. That bill didn't pass, but meanwhile, Roland Park proposed an ordinance banning discrimination against gay, lesbian, and transgender people. It was almost like Roland Park was rebuking the state.
I think those were two separate issues. We're community centric, and so
the timing was just coincidence.
Yeah, I think
they had been working on that for some time before that came up, approximately 2 years. So it was in the works. It just was coincidental that the governor and company decided to bring it up also.
The timing certainly shone a light, though, on a what appeared to be a huge contrast.
Yeah. And to be clear, this affected our building codes and employment in our city.
It doesn't talk.
It doesn't talk about it, to keep discrimination and to add the protected classes to those particular areas. It doesn't mean we're promoting gay marriage. That's not part of it. This was strictly for businesses and our housing. So and there's some exemptions that were part of that. So. It was just a piece of legislation that I frankly was surprised it got so controversial, because it just was adding protections to more people that have a record of being discriminated against.
Tom, what was it for you, like, living in Roland Park at this time when there was so much attention around this issue? Did you feel proud of your city? Were you frustrated by the attention in any way?
What I was frustrated by was the innumerous people from outside the city that felt they had to come and speak. In my own personal opinion, it's Roland Park. It should be about what Roland Park thinks. I wouldn't go into your home and tell you how to do your budget.
So when you say people were coming and making public speeches?
Comments, yes. There was probably more of them than there was residents.
So did the media attention in some ways make the issue more contentious? Or?
Oh, yes. It was on every media outlet there was.
Tell us more about the story behind the proposal and passing of that ordinance. You say it was in the works for a long time.
Two of our councilwomen had been working on it and working with Equality Kansas, I believe their name is, working on it for quite some time before they brought it up.
What inspired them? As far as I understand, Lawrence is the only other city in Kansas with a law like this on the books.
Well, it's just like 50 years ago when the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was passed. It's the time to do it. It's the right thing to do. I'm sorry if I offend people who don't agree with me, but in my mind, it was the right thing to do.
And Teresa Kelly, what was it like? Were you already on city council?
I was on council, yeah. It was a lot of listening. I felt like I needed to hear all sides and disseminate the information, because we had outside people from that were for and for against it. So we had a lot of noise coming from outside. And I welcome that to a certain extent, because we're not always experts on what we're talking about. So sometimes we need to call on that. And I like having contrast so that I can see all sides of the story and make a decision based on that. It was stressful because there were, those type of topics, sometimes you mentioned the media, it draws, sound bites are taken out of context, and it creates a lot of drama, and I don't particularly care to go there when I'm doing governance.
Well, it sounds like there were a lot of frustrating things about the attention that this drew to Roland Park, but did all that attention raise Roland Park's profile in any way?
Oh, I would say so. A long time ago, and I shared this at our gathering, someone, a mover and shaker, so to speak, I'll leave her nameless, in Johnson County, told me that Roland Park is under the microscope a lot, that people from around the county watch us to see what we're doing and what works. She also told me we'd never get chickens, but that didn't come to pass.
But I want to jump in here. When you say you're under the microscope and people are watching you, what are they watching for?
I think they're just watching what we're handling. We had other communities come to us to talk to us about, this non-discrimination language. We've had, when I go to networking events or other meetings, people will run up to me. We just lifted our breed-specific language out of our animal ordinances, and I had two other council members from different cities come up to me recently saying, we lifted ours last week, you know. So it's, I don't know that we take the lead, but I think we show a little bit of bravery as far as we're not afraid to bring things forward.
So when people in other parts of Johnson County are watching Roland Park, is it in the sense of it being maybe kind of a bellwether of a direction things might be moving, or is it something else?
I would like to think that's what it is. I don't know if that's the case.
I'd like to make a comment.
Yeah, please.
Many administrations ago, we had a bunch of clowns on the council.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
And that's how we started getting media coverage. There was yelling. There was even at a point where one mayor pushed the municipal judge and come close to being arrested.
So I'm guessing you're not talking about clown in the sense of like red nose, big shoes.
No.
Can you tell a little bit more what you're describing? Describe the situation, because
I'm describing individuals who can't let anybody else talk. They think the only way they can communicate is shout. And they say things like, well, you're just wrong. You know, they're not willing to make any compromise, anything like that. And it kept getting, the Star did numerous articles on it. And I think that's where Roland Park first people went, oh, what's going on over there?
So
but now I think they do look at us. We've done two things that a lot of people disagreed with. But it doesn't matter. We agreed on it.
We've just talked about one of those things, I think. What's the other thing?
The two contentious things?
Yeah.
It was the allowing pit bulls in the city, what Teresa alluded to about we took out breed specific. I was very much in favor of that because I've always had big dogs. And I took care of my father in Reno, and where he lived, you couldn't have anything over about a 20-pound dog.
So this is another controversial issue for Roland Park, and as far for how Roland Park is seen by outsiders.
Perhaps. You know, I think, you know, to follow up a little bit on what Tom said, you know, our council and our community has come a long way from those days of people holding gavels over the mayor's head and those type of things. We won a civility award 2 years ago for the way we handled our controversial budget, you know, when we were talking about that $700,000 hole and how to handle it. We've done a strategic plan. We've done a lot of improvements as far as how we handle ourselves as a governing body and citizens. We have more formalized opportunities for citizens to engage us. As far as, you know, breed-specific language is something, you know, if you want to talk about trends, people don't like to hear trends, but that was put in place during a trendy time to put that in place.
When you say trendy among whom?
Government. You know, it's like the wave of repealing the anti-gay marriage. You know, that's kind of, it builds and you know, people get on board. More conversation is had. There's changes of opinion.
But trendy maybe nationally?
Yes. I don't really like the word trending, but you know, it's because I feel like, you know, that means it's going to die. But I think there's just waves of different things that are high profile, and that's how these things work. So right now the wave is everybody's repealing that breed specific language for that one issue, because there's expert opinion and statistically and lots of different information is available now that shows that banning one breed doesn't solve your bite problem. So, and of course, that in itself is controversial.
Well, other than politically, Tom Madigan, do you think that Roland Park has any claim to being an exception?
Oh, I most definitely do. One of the things that came out in the citizens' survey was how centrally located we are to every attraction in metropolitan Kansas City. Power and Light, Plaza, Legends, all, you can just jump on I-35 and it'll take you to another interstate, and you'll be, whether it's at Worlds of Fun or wherever. And I've had two granddaughters that have lived in the Boulevard Apartments, and they both come from out south Johnson County, and they go, my goodness, I can get anywhere I need to.
What drew you to the area?
I was out of town. My wife found the house and called me up and said she was buying it.
So,
but I started, that's the truth. But I started coming to Roland Park in 1958 when my best friend moved here from over on Forest in Kansas City, Missouri.
Is there anything about Roland Park, sort of maybe personality wise or amenity wise, that you think is only true of Roland Park? It's not something that's not true of the immediately surrounding area.
Our community center and our swimming pool are operated by Johnson County's Parks and Rec. They don't operate anybody else's with an agreement with the city. We have a community center that has switched from being an old folks place to being for all ages. But one of the main things is the feel of a small town neighborhood. People come up and go, I'm going to be out of town. Could you do such and such? But how progressive you are is the police department. You can call the police department and tell them, I'm going to be out of town for 5 days, and the only car that should be there is a red car. They see a different color car, they got them out of the car and they're talking to them.
So those personal relationships. Is there a downside to this kind of close-knit, everyone knows what everyone else is doing scenario?
Not to me. We come from a Lenexa, and it was like everybody comes home from work and drives in their garage. Mm-hmm. You know, and you might see them mowing. Here, people are out talking to each other, and that's one of the things how we're getting word spread, is I tell somebody, they tell somebody, and then I get a phone call, is that true?
Well, so do you think that there are any misconceptions out there in the greater metro area in general about Roland Park and among people who live outside of your community?
Personally, I think the misconceptions are held by some people on the council and some people in the city. I've never heard anybody, when I tell them where I live, I've never had anybody go, oh.
What do you think?
Well, I've had a different experience. You know, we moved from South Johnson County, and, you know, when our children graduated for the first time and my husband and I's relationship, we were able to make a choice where we wanted to move, not having schools or anything to do with the kids. And so we really looked, and we chose Roland Park for a lot of the reasons that Tom suggested. In 10 minutes, I can get anywhere. My husband travels. He can get to the airport. I like the neighborly feel.
But what about this idea of misconceptions? Do people have misconceptions about Roland Park?
Well, when people would say, so where'd you buy your house? Because I was so excited. Roland Park. And they'd kind of look at me for a minute like I had a horn growing out of my head, because I found I was, you know, people my age were either buying, you know, like, you know, renting in the plaza, or they were buying big houses out south. Downsizing to, you know, my ranch style home that I don't have to go up and down stairs, and I have a nice yard, and I've got sidewalks, and I see my neighbors. That was not something that seemed foreign to people. And but I love it. I mean, for all the reasons that we've discussed, I love living in Roland Park.
What do you wish people knew about life in Roland Park?
Oh, how friendly, how affordable, how accessible. I just think we're inclusive. It's just awesome.
The biggest problem with Roland Park is the majority of the houses are two-bedroom. And today's young families think every child needs a bedroom. So as soon as mama gets pregnant the second time, we're out of here. But the good part of that is they come in, they remodel the house, they update everything. So Roland Park is constantly renewing without having the teardowns that a lot of cities have. Yeah.
Central Standard's going to take one more quick break. When we come back, more about why Teresa is better known to some as the Chicken Lady.
Oh,
I'm Gina Kaufman. We'll be back in a sec. Welcome back to Central Standard. Today's show is part of KCUR's Beyond Our Borders project, exploring the lines that unite and divide us as a greater metropolitan area. We're turning our focus toward Roland Park, a tiny little city sandwiched between Mission, Fairway, KCK, and KCMO. Our guests are community member Tom Madigan and Roland Park Councilwoman Teresa Kelly. So, Teresa, you are known, I hear, as the Chicken Lady, and you've told a little bit of that story, but I wonder if you can tell it in a little more detail.
Okay. Well, and I have a cohort, one of my fellow city council women, and I, Sherry McNeil, met at Earth Day in 2010. And she had gotten her chickens taken away from her the fall before, and I was looking to get them. And so someone on the sustainability committee introduced us. So I attended my first city the administrative committee meeting in May of that year, and attended every city meeting except for Public Works for the following year, because at that time we weren't doing committee of the whole. There were individual committees that met on different nights of the week. And so we were walking our way through making that policy change because it was deemed by, I believe it was a staff member in the beginning, deemed it was, our ordinance read that it was illegal. And like a lot of archaic ordinances, there were opposing things in the ordinances, contradictory things. Like it had the action that animal control was supposed to take if there were chickens at large. So we couldn't
chickens
understand.
At large.
Yeah, if there were chickens at large being dealt with, why we couldn't have them in the beginning, you know? So
so some cities where that are fairly areas that are dense, I should say, when with people more and more wanting to have backyard chickens, the thing that seems to be usually controversial is the rooster, because the rooster makes a lot of noise.
Right, and we disallow that.
Okay.
And, you know, Casey Moe does the same thing. So, you know, they keep chickens in Manhattan, New York. And you know, we talked earlier about trends. Well, there was a groundswell with this movement across the country where municipality after municipality after municipality was allowing backyard hens. And so.
And you wanted to have them yourself?
Yes.
And do you now?
I do. I have six. We're allowed six. So, yeah, and I think we're up to maybe six families, and I've been contacted, and Sherry's been contacted by maybe four or five more. So, you know, there were a lot of that issue became really controversial. The council was really divided on it. So, you know, but we just, you know, plugged at it every time a barrier was put up. Oh, they're too noisy. Well, we came forth with fact-based information. I'm a retired master gardener, so I learned how to do university-based research. So that's what we brought.
Do people really still call you the chicken lady?
Yes.
So it's not too hard to develop a reputation in Roland Park.
Apparently not.
Tom, what's your reputation?
A loudmouth, someone that's not afraid to speak up on any subject. I've spent my life talking. You can't tell that from my voice today. So I have no problem addressing anyone. But I love Roland Park because Therese is an example. I can pick up the phone and call Therese and we can have a conversation. You know, and she will tell me, I disagree with you. Now, other council members, they might agree with me, but you have that contact. To me, what's comical about the chickens is I grew up in the 40s. Every house in the neighborhood had chickens in the backyard and clothes on the line.
Mm-hmm. So any other reputations we need to talk about? I guess I'm interested in the reputation of Roland Park, and I hate to take us back there, but Tom, you made a comparison between Roland Park and Kansas City, Kansas in some of our earlier conversations. Can you talk about that?
Well, the conversation earlier was about invisible lines. And because Wyandotte County and Johnson County's line falls primarily along the I-35 corridor in Roland Park, and that area has always been utilized by junkyards and things like that, so there's a great distance before you get to Wyandotte County. Wyandotte County has its attitude about Johnson County. We're all snobs. A lot of Johnson County, oh, I wouldn't go to Wyandotte County. But to me, the same people live in both places.
And Roland Park's kind of on the line there?
Yeah, it's on Roll Avenue goes right down to I-35.
So when our intern Patrick went to the Price Chopper in Roland Park to talk to people, he met someone from KCK who identifies with Roland Park. Let's hear a little bit of her conversation with Patrick now.
I'm the black sheep where I live.
We're by KU Med.
Mm-hmm. Because we're Wyandotte County, they think that we're low rent and low trash, and that's just not true.
Right,
so
exactly.
I think they get the same rap here in Roland Park, because I have a family that lives in Roland Park, just over here on Knoll, and they get treated the same way we get treated over there.
Tom, what is your response to hearing that kind of perspective?
I'm not surprised by that woman's attitude, because as long as I've been in Johnson County, a lot of Johnson County people tend to have their nose up a little bit.
Yes, you made a gesture that our listeners can't see.
I put my nose up. that, through newer generations, has disappeared more and more.
But can I just point out that you said they? I mean, you live in Johnson County, and you said in Johnson County, they.
I was born in Kansas, Missouri, and that's where I was born and raised, and that just somehow doesn't.
You're not totally identifying as part of Johnson
County. Oh, I will to somebody that knows that Roland Park exists. But if I'm in New York and I say Roland Park, they have no idea, and I say I live in Kansas City, and they go, Missouri or Kansas?
That is the usual response. Teresa, do you feel like the city you're involved in governing has in some ways more to do with Wyandotte County? I mean, either demographically or in terms of interests and struggles?
I think there's, misconceptions like we've talked about. I don't know that we have specific struggles. I think we're finding common ground. I think we're developing relationship because we do, in addition, part of our border meets up there at I-35, but the common border back there near the area where the woman on the recording talked about Rainbow Boulevard intersecting with 47th Street, which intersects with Mission, and that's our gateway. And so we're mending fences. And, I moved to Johnson County in 2002, moved to Roland Park in 2009. So I, my perception is from an outsider. I don't see all those weird perceptions and reputations and that. I've been made aware of it. I don't feel it myself, but I've seen even in early council meetings I went to, people were like, well, people look at us like we're blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I didn't perceive that, I just think we're a suburban neighborhood that is a tight-knit community. We've got a diverse population. It's a community of all ages. We're working through some hard stuff right now.
Well, we've got, I want to touch on that hard stuff if we have time, but we did have a call from Jeff in Mission, Kansas, to say he appreciates the art in Roland Park. Is there an artistic identity in Roland Park?
Yes, we're kind of known for our public art. At one time, we had a huge budget for that, but with budget cuts in the last several years, we don't. But our median has public art. We have when we remodeled the City Hall, we created the council chambers and the conference area and the hallway all have lighting, and it's designed in such a way to have public art. So monthly we have a new art exhibit. We have a curator who brings the different pieces in.
You said just a second ago that you've got some things you're struggling with. Are those things we've touched on already, or are there things other people that we should know about that haven't come up yet?
I think we've touched on most of the struggles. I think, and those are, we're managing those. We're navigating those. I think there's more positive coming out in Roland Park nowadays.
The last 2 years has been a great difference. The council's become more open.
Thank you, Tom.
I mean that seriously. And the mayor, who is an architect and an artist, he gained a lot of attention some years back by putting up a sign that said 34 miles an hour. And myself included, we're calling TV stations going, did you see that?
Wait, so what's the deal there? 34 miles an hour?
It was an art exhibit. It was to get attention like art should. And it now sits in what we call our park. That sign is over there as an art exhibit. But, you drive down the street and you see something that doesn't say 05, it grabs your attention.
Tom, you are the historian at the table, and I've noticed that the shape of Wyandotte County is a little bizarre. Can you, there are these little pockets. What do you know about the lines that got drawn?
lines are always political. I have a friend that lived over off of 48th and Quivira Drive, and his water comes from Kansas City, Kansas, even though that he's in Johnson County, because before it was annexed, they didn't know where the line was.
So lines will be lines, I guess.
Yeah.
Our time is up for this conversation about Roland Park, but our exploration of the line between Johnson County and Wyandotte County continues. Teresa Kelly, thanks so much for spending the time with us today.
Thank you.
And Tom Madigan, I've loved hearing your perspective on Roland Park.
Thank you for allowing me to say it.
You can listen back to this discussion at kcur.org/centralstandard. Sign up for our podcast while you're there and follow us on Twitter. We're at KCURCST. Tomorrow, what are the unspoken rules of Kansas City etiquette? And do they help us or hurt us? It's Kansas City Nice tomorrow at 10. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stick around for Up to Date.